Hello, and welcome to the Popmatic Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Crystal. We're librarians at Nashville Public Library.
This podcast is where you can find reviews and recommendations of the best books, movies, and music available for checkout from the Popular Materials Department of the Nashville Public Library.
You can also learn about library programs such as concerts, film screenings, book clubs, author talks, and book signings.
Are you burnt out from the marathon? Are you secretly ashamed you didn't run the marathon yet again? May we suggest awesome books, movies, and music to make you feel better? May we? I review Chronic City by Jonathan Latham. Crystal proves the Smiths are forever when she tells us about Girl in a Coma. Amanda gets her Bloomington on when she revisits Breaking Away.
I can't believe you read that.
A library game I like to play is keeping track of who gets a MacArthur Fellowship and seeing what novels they produce after that. So MacArthur Fellows receive $500,000 in quarterly increments over 5 years. Jonathan Latham earned his fellowship in 2005 and until last year only produced one book, You Don't Love Me Yet, which was met with decidedly mixed reviews. So in previous podcasts, Julie has talked about Latham's unclassifiable diversity. So when Chronic City was coming out last year, it was one of my most highly anticipated titles. And though it came out in 2009, I had to wait for the hold queue to burn down just like everyone else. Chronic City concerns Chase Instedman, a washed-up-by-choice grown-up child actor who lives off royalties and gourmet chow at Manhattan dinner parties. Though he has no paying roles, his life is public theater as his fiancée is stuck in orbit above Earth in a failing space station. Her government-censored love letters to him are published in the New York Times. Succumbed to being the public's emo boy, Chase's life is revived when he meets Perkis Tooth, a washed-up-by-force countercultural film critic. Chase and Perkis and company sit in Perkis's rent-controlled apartment and smoke up, the chronic of the title, chug coffee, and literally deconstruct the universe. On one level, it's a bromance between Chase and Perkis. Tight friendships are formed, but the assumptions with which they frame their lives begin to come unglued. On another level, it's an examination of how we construct our lives through media. As more plot-altering truths about the nature of the city are revealed, Chase's life begins to solidify, while Perkis's life begins to disintegrate. And when things start to come apart for the characters, the city itself starts to come apart. And this is where Philip Dick's influence on Latham comes into play. Reality is a pastiche. It can be cut and pasted, melted, recycled. It's a dream Manhattan. It's winter all year long. They reminded me a lot of the New York in Eyes Wide Shut. So it's obviously not the real New York. It's like just a little blurry around the edges. Chronic City is a complicated book that doesn't fit into easy categories. I loved it. Latham successfully creates an unpretentious book about the Upper East Side, which is not an undifficult task to do, and I don't think that most writers would even attempt that unless they're writing something sort of sleazy and salacious. The novel doesn't exclude Manhattan power games. The skyscrapers on the cover are definitely a metaphor for the golden microchips inside of a laptop computer. I would recommend this book to anyone who feels they live their life too much on the internet or has spent significant amounts of time geeking out over books, movies, and music. So, MacArthur Foundation, your investment in Jonathan Latham was money well spent.
I can't believe you listened to that.
Crystal here, back for podcast action after a two-month break. I must say, if you haven't heard April's podcast, stop listening to my ramblings and download it pronto. Okay, welcome back to the merry month of May and a band that chose to name themselves after a Smiths song. Girl in a Coma, an all-girl group out of San Antonio, Texas, started with two best friends who shared a love of the Smiths, Nirvana, and skipping school. Bassist Jen Alva and drummer Fanny Diaz played in a number of bands until they discovered Fanny's kid sister Nina could sing. Then Girl in a Coma was formed, with Nina as singer and guitarist. After being featured in a TV documentary about emerging Latino bands, the girls got to meet Joan Jett. Jett dug them so much, she invited them to join her Black Heart Records label, which released their 2007 debut, and today's featured album, the 2009 released Trio BC. Jett even sang backup for a song on the album called Joni in the City. So, what does an all-girl band from the Lone Star State, named after a Smith song, sound like? Let's listen to a clip from a song called Static Mind. Hurry, I'm making me. The only Smiths influence I hear is Nina's Morrissey-esque vocal stylings. Throughout Trio BC, their songs go from aggressive punk to rolling rockabilly, even melancholy pop. The girls embrace their Latin musical heritage by naming the album Trio BC after the Diaz sisters' grandpa's Tejano band. The last song on the album is a raucous cover of a 60s Mexican pop song called Ben Cerca, marking the girls' first Spanish language recording. Now, back to band names. If I were to name my non-existent band after a song, we'd be called the Love Cats. The first person to post who wrote and recorded Love Cats in our podcast comments gets to check out free books from the library for 3 weeks at a time. What do you think about that prize, Amanda?
I've got my fingers crossed that I'm going to win it because I like free books.
Awesome.
I can't believe you watched that.
1979 was a big year. The people of England elected Margaret Thatcher as the first female prime minister. Three Mile Island came this close to destroying the eastern half of the United States. Sony released the first Walkman for a mere $200. The Dukes of Hazzard, a personal favorite of mine, debuted on CBS. And of course, I was born. See, these are some pretty important events right here. But the most important event, at least with regards to this podcast, is the fact that Breaking Away won the Academy Award for Best Screenplay. Okay, you could argue that my birth was more important because otherwise I wouldn't be here podcasting at all. But let's not nitpick, okay? Breaking Away tells the story of local boy Dave Stoller, played by Dennis Christopher, and his obsession with bicycle racing. Nicknamed the Cutters because their fathers worked in the stone quarries that surround Bloomington, Indiana, Dave and his buddies, Dennis Quaid, Daniel Stern, and Jackie Earl Haley, overcome the college boy prejudice by entering the annual Little 500 race. Fun fact number one. Haley, who I was previously unacquainted with, actually plays Freddy Krueger in the new installment of The Nightmare on Elm Street, which y'all are going to have to watch for me because I don't like scary films. The Little Five is a 200-lap bike race started at Indiana University in 1951, and it has taken place every spring since then. Also, there has been a Cutter team every year since the movie, and they actually won the race in 2004. Now, we Hoosiers feel that there is no better kickoff to the big Indianapolis 500 race than the Little Five. The movie is loosely based on a true story. Breaking Away was written by Steve Tesich, a Yugoslavian who moved to the IN when he was 14. Tesich graduated from IU in 1965, but in 62 he was actually an alternate rider for the Phi Kappa Psi team. His teammate Dave Blaze rode 139 of their 200 laps, inspiring the Dave Stoller character. And Blaze actually has a cameo as the race announcer in the movie. Fun fact number two. Breaking Away was also Daniel Stern's movie debut. He has an especially interesting scene with a bowling ball right in the middle of the movie, so make sure you watch through that part. After having lived through the insanity of four Little Five weekends, it was kind of nice to revisit the race from a safe distance. Sports Illustrated lists Breaking Away at number 8 on their all-time great list of sports movies, but I just think it's a good movie, sports or no. Kind of makes me lonesome for old B-Town. So ride your bike over to your local library and check this baby out today. So Bill, what are we watching this month?
Bill here, and I want to tell you about our Movies at Main program. We're going to spring into summer with the musical Mamma Mia. Come see Grease, come hear the songs of ABBA, hear the entire cast sing the songs of ABBA. You ask, where can I see this? At the Nashville Public Library in the main auditorium at 615 Church Street. Now you want to know, when can I see it? Well, that's Saturday, May 8th, 2010 at 2 p.m. Mamma Mia is free and open to the public. So remember, Mamma Mia is showing at the Nashville Public Library in the main auditorium at 615 Church Street on Saturday, May 8th, 2010 at 2 p.m. Hope to see you there.
You've been listening to Nashville Public Library's Pop-Matic podcast. For more information, please visit www.library.nashville.org.
That's on the interwebs.